All right, we're live. It's the Android Headline Show. This is episode 88. We have a special treat for you tonight. I'm really, really excited. We are talking with Will Choi. He is one of the co-founders of Aviate, Thumbs Up Labs, who created Aviate, which is my personal favorite launcher. I've used it since before Yahoo bought them. So we're super excited to be talking with Will. That's kind of the focus tonight. We'll touch base and give you some updates on some weekly news and that kind of thing. But tonight it's really all about talking to Will. So like I said, I'm really, really stoked on that. My name's Jeremiah. I'm joined by Will, obviously, and then Nick and Alex from the site. You guys want to say what's up?
What's up, everybody?
Hello.
Good evening, guys.
Yeah, so, Will, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us, man. Like I said, we're pretty excited.
thank you. I'm super excited to be here, so thanks for having me. And, I really appreciate kind of this chance to engage with the Android community. And, super excited for our conversation tonight.
Yeah. So am I. So we're gonna kind of keep it simple. Some of you guys may remember we had JBQ on the show like a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I have to look up the date. I don't remember exactly when it was. So he came on and talked with us kind of about what he's doing at Yahoo and some of the Android apps and stuff that they're working on. So Will now is working at Yahoo as well, but I know I personally wasn't as familiar with kind of his work. I mean, I knew him from Aviate and, from his time with Google before he left to start Thumbs Up Labs, but I just wasn't as familiar with everything that he had done. So that's kind of what I want to dive into tonight. Just kind of, I just want to kind of get some of your background and that's a good starting off point. Yeah. Just so we're kind of familiar, do you mind telling us a little bit about your background?
Of course. I started my journey into technology at Stanford. I was a computer science major there, and I focused on human-computer interaction, so really thinking about what are the different kinds of interfaces and how do they fit into just human lives in general. And from there, I graduated, went to Google as a software engineer. I was working on the search interactions team there and really got to see in the real world how a big, successful product is run from the technology perspective and how you make different kinds of improvements to a product like that. And from there, I actually left now about 3 years ago to found Thumbs Up Labs and with my two amazing co-founders, Paul and Mark. And we worked on Aviate and was acquired by Yahoo just this January. And we've been here ever since working on the Yahoo Aviate product.
That's awesome. So you, right out of Stanford, jumped right into working at Google?
Yeah. I actually had done two summer internships there before I joined full-time. And so I was pretty familiar with the environment, and I knew it was just a great company with lots of smart people, and I felt like it was a great place to learn. Just kind of how a successful product is run. And especially being on the search team, I think I did get to see a lot of that, yeah.
Okay, so that was actually my next question. What what you worked on at Google, you were working on specifically on the search team?
Absolutely, yeah. So our team was called Search Interactions, and we're really all about running a bunch of different experiments on the search results page to see how users engage with new features, new kind of interaction paradigm. And I think a lot of those kinds of things actually really help me. I mean, it continues to help me today because we are having to constantly do similar kinds of things in terms of building a simple product that still has a lot of complexity underneath, right? And so how do you kind of engage with and experiment with a few different things while trying to still kind of measure with what are the things that people really, really like? Yeah.
So you were experimenting with Google search product. So you're just kind of poking at people, seeing, you know, how they reacted when there were different searches. And that's really fascinating, man. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So it was more about, there were like a very big range of experiments we were running. So on one side of it, it's very small, tiny tweaks. Like, for example, how big is the font of the titles on the web results? And on the other extreme is things like almost entire redesigns of the page. And so you have obviously different kinds of learnings there and different kinds of processes, engineering-wise, to achieve those kinds of things. And so, it was a full range of things. I'm glad I got to spend my time there and experience a wide range of things.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be fascinating just to see, I mean, like you said, from the minute level of the size of a font to completely different page layouts and seeing how people interacted and reacted to seeing the search results that way.
Absolutely, yeah. It was fun.
that's great, man. So you did that at Google for what, about 2 years? Is that right? Year and a half?
Yeah, about two.
Okay. And that whole time when you were at Google, was that all spent, you know, working on search and with those experiments, or was there anything else that you did?
Yeah, I was actually just on the search team, but a lot of projects I was involved in were all having to do with search. So it was really focused on that team. Although a lot of the things that I did ranged from dealing with people's suggestions to this redesign of the search results page. To local results. So there was a lot of diversity, but I stayed in the search team for those years. Yeah.
Right. And that's a big product. So yeah, I can imagine there's a lot of different things that you got your hands on, even just within search. So
yeah.
And then from there, you left Google. And so kind of walk me through that, I guess, time frame and the decisions that you made, you know, as you're kind of formulating the idea for Aviate with Mark and with Paul and, you know, kind of making that decision to strike out on your own.
Yeah. So for me, I think there were several reasons, but I think the biggest and the main reason was really about personal development. So I really felt like, jumping into the startup world, creating a new company, creating a new product is going to teach me, various things that I thought I really wanted to learn and to develop in that way. And so for me, it was, you know, the combination of, just meeting Paul and Mark at the right time basically feeling that our team had a good potential to execute on a product together. And that was a great opportunity for me to, to take a little bit of risk, as for sure, but to really adventure out to this world of startups.
Yeah, and it's a big step, you know. Going to work at Google to work at a big company right out of school, and then making that decision to kind of leap out into the startup world is definitely a bit of a leap of faith, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was definitely a big risk there, but I think what was really exciting also around that time, this was about 3 years ago, was that, this like mobile ecosystem was just like basically exploding, and there were so many different kinds of ideas coming out, and we just felt like there was so many opportunities being opened up at that time. And I think that also nudged us in that direction, is like, hey, like we have so many different kinds of things we would be really excited to work on. Let's really try to make this work as a startup and see where it goes.
Yeah, and when you said, you know, at Stanford specifically, you had studied kind of human and technology interacting, that immediately rang a bell with me for Aviate. That Aviate from day one has always felt like it's been built around utility. And that's one of the reasons I keep coming back to it, is that it works well and functions well for how I navigate through my day using my phone. So how did the kind of the idea for Aviate come about when you know that was a product that you guys wanted to focus on with Thumbs Up Labs?
So I think it's a combination of, just number one, what was happening in the ecosystem. So what I mean by that is just how the number of apps that people were using, the number of apps that are available, the kinds of information that people want to access while on their phone, all of those things were just exponentially growing. And if you look at the OS, if you look at the home screen, not much has changed since the day that it was designed for, which was in the world of 10 apps. And so we felt like there was an opportunity there. In general, we're really excited that there's this mobile device that's with you throughout your day that kind of follows you around, whether you are at the gym, whether you are at school, whether you are eating at a restaurant. And there's just so many different possibilities in connecting you to the right sets of information at the right time. And as we thought about those kinds of questions, we basically fell into the idea of Aviate. I mean, it was a much slower process than what I'm making out to be right now. But we really iterated on different versions of the product with this vision in mind, and kind of came towards the Android home screen.
Okay, right. And yeah, I totally understand that it wasn't, didn't come together as quickly as you just explained it, right? Like there are a lot of different...
one day, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's kind of just molded and formed over time as you guys looked at... Okay. That's cool. Now, what other, were there any other products or projects or anything else that you guys were working on at Thumbs Up?
Nothing. I mean, it was more, so we did work on just like basically different versions, right? So we actually started with a more of a widget-based product. We also had a more of a keyword search-based product. So we had actually many different kinds of explorations. We also built just like love hacking on different small apps together as a founding team. And so I think in general, we were very focused on kind of this problem that was more at the platform level, which was what was exciting to us, is the fact that we can actually play a bigger role potentially in how people engage with different types of apps and content on the phone. And so I think there were a lot of tinkering going on, but that was kind of what we came back to every time.
Yeah. And that comes through in the app, the focus that you had for kind of figuring out like I said, for me, the way that I use my phone throughout the day, yeah, and the different apps that, you know, that I might want to be looking at when, you know, when I'm in the car or when I'm at home or when I'm at the office or.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're continuing to improve on that. I mean, so what the approach that we took is essentially we tried to build a product that first the three of us were happy with. And a lot of the earlier iterations, like, we weren't even happy with, right? So there's not even kind of, we couldn't go to the next step. So once we achieve that, then the next step is really just get 10 people, like 5 of your friends to like it. And then 20, and then 50 to 100. And that's really how we grew. We tried to be a little more measured about, you know, not just like launching as fast as we can, but launching more in waves into these different smaller groups where we felt like we could actually have more qualitative feedback and hear what's working, hear what's not working. And it's not to say that, you know, that you figure out completely so that all of your friends are satisfied. But I think that kind of process really helped us have a much more successful launch when we actually first came out to the Android community as a closed beta product.
Yeah, and you know, as you rolled out AV8 to more users, I mean, it was in private beta for a long time, and slowly, you know, kind of opening up to more users. That early private beta is when I got in and really just kind of fell in love with it. It's been fun to watch.
That's as you guys have.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been absolutely great. I've played with other launchers since then, but I always come back to AV8. And as, like I said, it just seems to work for me the way,
yeah,
you know, the way that I use my phone.
Well, yeah, we're really glad to hear it. I mean, that's absolutely what we're trying to do, to reach more users like you.
Well, it worked. It definitely worked. So, you know, AV8 kind of exploded. Once enough people, you know, kind of realized what you were doing and how it could work for them. And then, you know, Yahoo took notice and ended up acquiring Thumbs Up Labs. What was that process like? Because I know, I mean, we're really talking about kind of a, from the time you started at Google, left Google, like you said, it's only been, that was what, 3 years ago?
Right, yeah.
That, so in the span of about 18 months, you and Paul and Mark started Thumbs Up Labs, built AV8 to a product that was, you know, getting a lot of attention. A lot of people were using it. And then Yahoo bought the company. Yeah, how'd that happen?
Yeah. So for us, it did happen very quickly. I mean, so we're talking about a closed private beta launch in October of last year. And short months, we were at Yahoo. But I think the reason why that could happen so quickly was just like from day one when we met with Yahoo, it was very clear like exactly how our visions align, just in terms of what Yahoo's trying to do on mobile, which is really engage with people's daily habits and like being with them as they do the things that they do daily, which might be check the weather, check the news, you know, follow your favorite sports teams. And we felt like, hey, those are like, these are exactly all the use cases that AVA, you know, we're thinking about, which is like, how do we, you know, reinforce users' daily habits, basically facilitate that process as they, you know, commute to their work, you know, wake up in the morning, set their alarm at night, like all these things that you do every day. There's just all kinds of content that we can surface and all kinds of apps. And we felt like from the get-go, kind of the vision that Yahoo outlined was just completely in line with AV8. And so when Yahoo acquired AV8, we really went in with a very clear expectation that the product will not only continue, but we'll just get a bunch of support from Yahoo and a bunch of resources, which is what's happened and exactly what makes the entire process just so fantastic for us is the fact that, we are still a very small team. We're still a resource-strapped startup coming into Yahoo. We were able to really think about not only just growing the product in ways that I think we couldn't have as an independent startup. And I think that continues to be the case. We recognize that the product is still in an early form, and Yahoo and the AVA team are extremely committed to fully supporting the product and making sure that we can realize the places that we want to go to in this next few years.
Yeah. Okay. And that makes sense. When you say that you felt that Yahoo's vision kind of aligned with what you guys wanted to do with AV8, that echoes right across the line with some of the stuff we talked with ABQ about a couple weeks ago, with what Yahoo, kind of the direction that they want to go with their mobile apps. It seems to me, just looking in from the outside, that Yahoo felt the same way, obviously, because they bought AV8. But that's cool to find that two companies the way they to mesh really well.
Exactly, and I think that's really rare, and I think we do feel really lucky that that just happened. It's just the right time, and I think when we talked with Yahoo, I mean, even before we talked with Yahoo, actually, the team talked about, who are the different partners that we could work with out of the bigger companies. And Yahoo actually was the first thing that we all mentioned, just because if you look at their presence on the web, the kinds of strengths that they have there, and then the kinds of things that they're trying to do in mobile, it's to us, it's a no-brainer how well it fits.
Yep. And the other thing that you said, and this I can just kind of attest to a little bit, in where AV8 has, how AV8 has grown since joining Yahoo. I'm glad that you guys had a focus on kind of keeping the app alive, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And because I feel like a lot of times we see companies, acquire another company or buy a team, essentially, based on an app that they built, and then the app just kind of disappears. Whereas you and Paul and Mark had a focus on keeping AV8 alive and making it better, and that shows. I mean, the core functionality is still the same, but AV8 is just the polish. And even some additional functionality, but a lot of the Yahoo makes beautiful looking apps, and so some of that design language I feel like has come over in AV8 as well, and really helped the app grow.
Yeah, and I think that's I think you're seeing the result of a lot of collaboration with not just the AV8 core team, but across Yahoo in general. I mean, we get resources in the form of not just engineering, but design, marketing, product, and so it really is across the board, and I think that's phenomenal.
For sure. So you've had some pretty different experiences. You were at Google working on the search team, and then running your own startup for a year and a half or 2 years, is, like you said, kind of cash strapped, and is a bit of the it's the wild, wild west a little bit, you know? You're just kind of figuring things out as you go. And now you're at Yahoo. You've been there for, what, a year or so? Talk to us about the differences. I know, you know, Google and Yahoo have different environments. And obviously, running your own company is a totally different animal. So, yeah, kind of talk to us about those differences.
Yeah. Gosh, where to start? So I think, you know, all as we, I think all three in many ways are the wild, wild west, actually. I mean, I think it's, that's what I learned from just being, yeah, having worked at on all three of those contexts. And I think what's interesting, what I really I think want to highlight is, I think at Yahoo, we really do feel like we were able to kind of retain our startup culture. And so obviously I'm biased, I'm in a very different position, but just in general, you know, the fact that we came in and we were able to still operate much the same way. I mean, we still get to move just as fast, if not faster, in terms of making decisions, whether that's in product and engineering, and being able to quickly get a lot of feedback, launch something that maybe doesn't work, maybe it does, and those kinds of things, just like how fluid things have been. At Yahoo, we really do appreciate it. I think in general, the entire mobile organization does feel like a lot of teams do feel like startups in general. I think it speaks to kind of just the way it's organized. So if you look at each, we call it pods. You look at each kind of teams, they're still kept pretty small, but you have cross-functional people coming in from product, from design, from engineering. And I think those tend to be a little bit different from how maybe other big companies tend to be organized. I think my experience, though, in general is I think it's just a lot of things that are natural for a career progression, right? Like my roles just are very different when I was at Google versus when I was at the startup versus now. I think the roles definitely evolve with what I'm working on with the product. And so I honestly think a lot of the differences can be attributed to that. I think all three have been very different for sure, but interesting challenges for sure.
So you kind of feel like those it's been kind of a personal, you know, journey, you know, as you've matured.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Roles have changed and kind of fit,
yeah,
what
you. What I was doing at Google were more about, you know, learning, you know, how to be an effective engineer on a team, right? It's about learning all the kinds of different kinds of processes, different kinds of code quality issues, those kinds of things. And at the startup, when we were a three-person team, it was about figuring out how to move in this vast ocean of uncertainty, make decisions and go, launch quickly, you know, iterate quickly, and do a lot of different kinds of things other than engineering. And now at Yahoo, you know, it's about keeping that kind of spirit, but also figuring out, you know, what's the best way to really accelerate our development, accelerate how we architect different things from engineering perspective, and be more ambitious. I think Yahoo really allows us to do that. It basically lets us pursue a few different things at the same time. And so, you know, those are the kinds of differences I would cite. I think they're very much tied to just kind of, yeah, where I was in the personal journey.
Yeah, well, and that makes sense. And it's, I got to say, I'm impressed to see, to hear you say that. As you've kind of grown as a person and taken on these different roles and you've been able to kind of morph your and really take your future in your hands, so to speak, to the point that now you're in a place where you've got some, you know, there's Yahoo's got a foundation and some support structure that they can really, like you said, just kind of let you go and work on multiple things at once, and you know that you've got some backing. It's a wild story, you know, in a real short window of time. Like I said, Will, I'm impressed. That's phenomenal.
Oh no, thanks. I mean, I think it's been a fun few years for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. I guess kind of on that note still, what are some of the things that, you know, that you liked about being at Google, and maybe, you know, maybe a couple of things that you didn't necessarily like, versus now being at Yahoo? What's some of the things that you like and maybe don't?
I mean, there were a lot to like at Google, right? I mean, I think for me, that was my real first job, and I think they do a really great job at letting engineers feel a lot of ownership over the things that they're working on, even though it's a big company, and I really respect that. I think that's a really tough thing to achieve, and yeah. I did feel very supported in terms of my career growth, just in terms of the things that I've been able to learn, and I think at the end of the day, it probably depends on the team. At both Google and Yahoo, I mean, they're just bigger companies, so it's hard to generalize. I don't want to make any sort of generalized comment.
Right. That's fair.
But, you know, like our team, my team at Google, I really did feel like there was a good mentorship for me. And so that meant having senior engineers, people who've been there many years more than me, who were really invested in how I was doing, and that like my questions would be answered, that sort of stuff. And at Yahoo, you know, I think we are very similar in that regard, but I think like really the big core strength at Yahoo comes down to this startup mentality. I do think it has to do with a much more dynamic position right now, being in the middle of a big turnaround, and that gives it this I think this spirit that's a little bit different from where Google's operating from, and I think that's a very exciting energy for a lot of the engineering team, and not just the engineering team, but the entire team, because it kind of lets us be a little bit more free with what we experiment with, a little bit more risk taking, also maybe a little more you just feel a little more involved with really determining the future of the company, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. Yeah. And
that's a big feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That you can kind of have your hands in projects that are helping the company grow. And that, like you said, at Google, you know, your opinion and your work was valued. But at Yahoo now, you're really helping shape this change. And also, you know, like you said, Google is just in a different place as a company. Yahoo's made a big turnaround in the last, 24 months?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And it's very exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, it's obvious to us as consumers. You know, we see it in the products that the company's releasing and the people, you know, like yourself that they're bringing on board. So it is. It's exciting. So what are you working on now at Yahoo? Obviously you still got your hands in Aviate. What else, any other projects or anything else that you're doing there?
No, I'm 100% focused on AV8. So I think the scope of AV8 has gotten bigger, obviously. But in general, I'm 100% focused. Our entire team is, and you know, I think we do see a lot of different things converging, obviously, because I think our vision is about connecting you with various kinds of information. But you know, I unfortunately can't like say specifically all the different features that I to talk about, but I think you know, you can kind of see how we operate just by looking at our recent updates, just the things that we've been doing. So we've been working hard on internationalization, for example, was a very recent launch. We've also done some more stuff with theming, and just adding different kinds of smarts to the product. And so those are the kinds of things we were continuing to work on. And you can expect, you know, in the future as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
How you said the scope of Yahoo has, or excuse me, the scope of AV8 has changed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I think what I mean by that is more just that, you know, we see AV8 as a, you know, the vision of AV8 is to connect people to the world's information at the moment it's useful. And what that, you know, in so many words is saying is that it's a vision that's very tied to search. It's about how people find the information or how people find and get to the information that they want. And, you know, I think that's where kind of the scope of AV8, when I said has grown, is that we do really get to take that vision serious from the get-go. And just say, again, coming back to this, like, larger ambition of Yahoo as a company, I think that's what I mean, is that we get to think about and be able to work with a lot of smart people across various other products.
Yeah, and that that kind of those team, you know, the different products and the different product teams, mm-hmm. at Yahoo, you know, we've heard before is Yahoo really kind of cultures that the teams working together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not having, you know, like you said, not having those pods siloed,
yep.
Which I think is huge and shows in Yahoo's vision and in their apps.
Yeah, I mean, it's the collaboration has been, you know, so yeah, it's about as frictionless as it can be. I mean, we already launched, for example, the Yahoo News Digest integration, where we show you the top 10 news stories when you're waking up and when you're going to bed on AV8, and that's one of the most engaged features on AV8. And that integration took, you know, really like the days, just a very short amount of time, just because we had full support from the News Digest team here. That's just one example of the kind of collaboration going on here.
Yeah, I've noticed that, and I use it. And that's crazy to think that you could integrate that in a very short window of time, because there's a lot of moving pieces there.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, very cool. Well, Will, what's next for you? This journey has been right out of college, as you've grown and, like you said, matured and kind of come along in your own personal journey. You've done a lot of great things. What's next on your plate?
Yeah, thank you. I think for me next is, you know, I can only hope to continue to work with AV8 and explore what's the next stage in the product, right? I mean, for me, when I think about my career, it's kind of been this kind of journey from one step to the other, that bring very different kinds of responsibilities, very different kinds of challenges for me. And I think that's what's been really exciting. And I still envision that 2015 and 16 and beyond, hope as AV8 as a product, you know, goes to add not just add different features, but kind of step itself up in terms of its market position and just, yeah, how we engage with users in different kinds of contexts. I think my role will continue to evolve, and I think that's what's exciting to me is, you know, really growing with this product at Yahoo and making sure that I'm getting the most out of their ride.
That's fantastic, man. That is awesome.
We'll see, yeah.
Well, Nick, Alex, do you guys have any other questions? Anything else that it's kind of been on your mind with Aviator, that with Yahoo, that you wanted to ask Will?
Well, I was going to ask if he had anything else like he was working on, but he already asked him, so.
Yep, beat you to it. Well, cool. Will, I know you're on the West Coast, and we are holding you from your dinner. Okay. So I do want to say thank you, though, so very much. Yeah, it's been our pleasure. I'm really, like I said, I'm really excited that we got a chance to talk and kind of dive into to Aviate and what Yahoo's doing and you know, kind of your path in life. It's been a lot of fun talking with you. I do want to respect your time, and I know, you know, you've got some other things you got to get to. So I just want to say thanks, you know, before we let you go here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate this chance again, and I'll see you guys around. Hopefully you guys can come out to Yahoo at some point.
That would be phenomenal. Come out and take a tour and get to shake your hand and meet you face to face.
Let me know. All right. Thanks, guys.
Awesome, Will. Thanks, man. Have a good night. So that was the definitive William Choi interview, at least for us, because it's the first one, so I can call it the definitive Will Choi interview. we are going to make a hard break here to talk about some news and some hardware and some software. So let's jump into that. Let's see. The big thing today was Hangouts. Hangouts got a big update, added a whole bunch of new stuff, and let's see. And I know Nick absolutely hates it, so if you feel like ranting about Hangouts, Nick, go ahead and I'll open the floor.
I don't absolutely hate it. That's not fair. I think I was expecting a little more in terms of problem fixes rather than – this is mostly feature additions. So they made it material. We got the material color scheme. It's like – was it like a bluish green? I'm not even really sure. I like the color, but it's a different color than they used before.
Yeah. It's a little more bluish than it was before because it was pretty much material before.
It was a very bright green before. So this is much more, I think, a friendly bluish green. And then, let's see, they added stickers. I think they're different from the iOS stickers, though. I've heard a lot of complaints that these are very word art-y, like back to the old Microsoft Office
clip art guy. Yep, clip art.
Yeah, I never really used the stickers in those other apps like Facebook Messenger, and I can't even think of what else has it now.
Pick your chat app, they probably have stickers, but these didn't really bother me too much.
I know WhatsApp doesn't, because that's the only other one I use for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind them so much. I think they went a little more creative with them than I think a lot of other places do. So they have like set themes. You got like a cat, which is sometimes like grumpy cat, sometimes whatever. they got a little, like, I think it's like a penguin guy on there or something. I can't remember. I had to look at it, but I don't know. It's. I like the idea of the themes. I don't necessarily care for the art style, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. What ticked me off when I ranted to you guys about there is when you open up stickers, it's a scrollable list with tabs on top. Now, normally in Android, you swipe between tabs, but in this, nah, we don't want to do that. You have to click on the tab, which is very Samsung-y. So
where do you think
that
they got
me
the
off.
Idea from?
Yeah, that's probably mean, it.
I'm pretty sure it's in Chadon.
Well, I'm sure it is. I don't know. So I'm trying to think. What else is in there, man?
Let's see. So you've got, besides the stickers...
Oh, the location thing. So if you
the
see,
location
like,
thing.
Where are you? It'll pop up where you can just tap on share your location.
Yes, and that's contextual. It yep. only shows up when somebody asks about your location. And they've also... It's supposed to be like natural language. So the example that I read was somebody could ask, where are you? And it'll pop up the little box that says share your location.
Yep.
And you just tap on the box, and then it'll give them you know, your location. But even if somebody asks something like, where are you at? Or whether or not it's grammatically correct, or it's formed in a different type of sentence, it doesn't necessarily have to be the term, where are you? So it's contextual in that regard. It'll give you that box to share your location.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of functionality is really, really helpful. And that was what – that's kind of what I've – the feeling that I got with this new Hangouts update is that they're adding in some of the – like they're building Google Now into Hangouts. And we've seen Google Now, the reach of Google Now in other apps already. So now that kind of functionality is going to be built into Hangouts, not just in location. Apparently Google is working on this in other forms too. So that kind of contextual use will be there. Maybe you're talking about a sports team or you're talking about a game and Google in reading your chat realizes that you're asking someone, hey, what time is the game tonight? And so they can pop up the time of the game. Or maybe you're asking about the weather, and they can pop up, a weather update. So it's information that you're already sharing with Google by using their chat app. So they're going to make it better for you by adding more features when you need them.
Yep.
Or when you might want them.
Yeah. They added in video filters, too.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
I mean, they're here in like regular Hangouts on the desktop. I mean, I've been able to change it on Hangouts on Air for a while.
Yeah, which is cool.
It's nice to have it on mobile. I think my biggest problem with it, and you guys well know this from, gosh, whenever this update came out in like July or something, is this horrible design of this app. And they changed this around the same time they changed the Google Plus app, and they don't match with anything else Google does. And it makes no sense how you navigate on this thing. Like before, you had the nice little swipe out, all your chats are on the left, your current chats on the right. That was perfect. It was easy to switch between stuff, it was fast, and it worked really well. And this thing is like this really awkward, you click on a chat, it like opens a new window. Sometimes the back function doesn't work properly. I know you guys said you don't really have that issue, but I don't know if I just have more chats going on or if I'm just the lucky one that gets all the bugs, but it will constantly close the app on me. It's just stupid. I don't know what else to say about it. Please get rid of this design, Google. Please go back to the old one. It was great. Keep the features. Go back to the old design. Same with Google Plus.
Do you – now, the Google Plus design is – I've gotten used to it, but it's really wonky. I don't feel the same about Hangouts, although – it's kind of weird. For me, it got weird after I installed the Hangouts dialer, and it added that third tab for phone calls.
Yes.
That's when the design got weird for me. So before that, it was just you had a call. You know, you had one tab for chats, one tab for contacts, like the old design.
Yep.
So it feels like the Hangouts dialer was slapped on the side there. And that's what, for me, is what kind of makes it a little weird. Now, I'm not seeing all the bugs that you are, but I know you're in, like, 25 different chats, and I'm only in, like, 4, so.
Just, like, 25 an hour.
Yeah, you got a lot going on in Hangouts. But you're the power user that is in Hangouts literally all day for work, for personal use, yeah. For everything. And so you're going to see this stuff.
Yep.
you see it acting funny when sometimes I don't or Alex doesn't.
Yeah,
yeah, so I'm in it all day because that's how we communicate here, basically with the entire staff. So right. You know, I see that there. I also use Google Voice, so I'm in it all the time for, you know, personal stuff usually. Unless I'm talking to friends that aren't in the country, then it's on WhatsApp. But
yeah,
most of the time I'm on the desktop, so that's why I don't see a lot of issues in the app.
Yeah, and I think for me, I was, gosh, I don't know, let's see. I hated the redesign. That was made clear. What really was kind of the, I can't think of the term, whatever. When Messenger came out, okay, Messenger is perfect. Messenger is literally the best chat app I've ever used. Everything about that app is incredible. It's just, it's smooth, it works well, the design is great, it looks good, it's got great features. Like, I wish Google would just take Hangouts and make it Messenger. I know they have Messenger for open source stuff, but I don't know. Like, it kills me when Google does this, where they have different teams that I hate to say that they don't know what's going on, or, you know, and I don't want to say they suck at their jobs because that's not fair to anybody. But obviously, Google still keeps these teams from talking to each other because there's so many inconsistencies regardless of how much other progress has been made across Android. And I think that's what really drives me nuts is they will come out with something and you're like, this is amazing. And then they come out with this other thing and it's like, is this the same company? Like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, well, and Will mentioned that when we were talking to him a few minutes ago.
Yep.
That was one of the big differences. And I think JBQ mentioned it when we were talking to him too.
Yep.
That Google's teams are siloed and, you know, at Yahoo, not so much. They're able to work together a little bit better.
That's why you see the Google Play Music app, you know, Google Search, pretty much any Google app, none of them work the same.
Yeah.
Except for Hangouts and Google Plus. And this is probably why you have Gmail and Google Plus with the same colors. It gets confusing when you use the two a lot.
Right, right. They could take Messenger. I mean, it's open source, right? So just
sure.
The Hangouts team could take that and integrate it and change it with Hangouts. But at that point, they're scrapping a year's worth of work because they've been working on the Hangouts app for
more than a year.
Longer than that, yeah. Because they were trying to integrate Google Voice and like that whole thing.
So
they
had to
scrap all that work.
It was announced in Google I/O 2013, but they were working on it way before that. I think a couple of years before that. Because Google Talk kind of got an update in like forever before Hangouts came out.
Yep.
Yeah, like
yep.
Before, you know.
Yeah, I forgot GTalk.
Yeah.
Which was before Google Voice.
That was the ish.
So, yep.
Yeah. And I think it's like, again, I loved the old Hangouts design, and that's what kills me. Old Hangouts was great. I love Messenger. I just hate the new Hangouts. That's all. I like the service.
No, the service is fantastic, and on the web, I use it on the web all day. It's great. I use the extension in Chrome. I don't so much use it in, you know, Google Plus or in Inbox, but on the web, it's great. I don't have any problems with it.
Yeah, I just use it in Gmail. I used to use the extension, but it was just such a hassle.
You talking about the little
intensive too.
Chat head thing?
Before that.
There's a Chrome extension. Yeah, there's a Chrome extension. Yeah.
Oh, the little floating windows.
It was before I got to the chat head stuff, like when I first came out. I haven't used it since Hangouts first came out.
The chat heads one is pretty cool. It's normal Hangouts, a lot of performance problems. I don't know what else to say about it. Again, it's cool features. The app needs some work.
I actually got rid of the chat heads one, like the desktop Hangouts, when they updated that. And went back to the regular Chrome extension because I didn't like it as much. Like, I didn't like having that extra square on my desktop all the time.
Yeah.
It was much more difficult to hide windows, and so I just went back to the Chrome extension.
Yep.
The old one.
My problem with that is I have so many chats going on, it's like I get no work done if I have that chat heads thing open, so I can't have it. Like, it's just too distracting. It's too prominent because you're right. It's literally right there in your face the whole day, and it's just, it's too much.
It's the same thing here, because I have, we have our chat, then we have the chat with, you know, the rest of the editors, then I have a separate chat with pretty much all of them by themselves, all four of us. So yep. There's like 6 chats right there, and then sometimes maybe my sister will text me or something, and it'll pop up on there. So I had to keep it in Gmail, or else if it's just right there when I'm writing, I won't get anything done. And sometimes I still don't get anything done.
Yep. So it's a big update for Hangouts on mobile. Add some really cool features. Nick is still not happy with it. Alex and I are pretty happy with it.
He wants it to be purple, like Messenger.
Just make it Messenger, but we'll do it.
Just turn it purple. He won't know the difference.
There you go. Even better.
Right? Yeah.
Wait, it's purple, isn't it? I haven't opened it since I first got the Nexus 6.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I still think Facebook Messenger is probably one of the best messaging apps that's not, you know, like tied to your phone number. Like, the open source messaging on Android now. Yeah. I mean, everything in there works, like, perfectly for me. I don't know about everybody else, but performance-wise, it's really good. I only use it for that.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, take care of the Android headlines page. But that's really all I use it for. I don't have the Facebook app, just the Messenger app. And it's like the complete opposite of the Facebook app.
Yes, I noticed that too.
The chat heads are really nice on there, I think.
Yeah, they're low-key, which is important.
Because if, like, you're playing a game, you know, somebody messages you, you don't have to jump out of the game to go and, you know, reply to them. Just pause it, tap the chat head, and reply. All done.
Yep. Yeah, I deleted the Facebook app a long time ago, but downloaded the Facebook Messenger app for, I think, a fantasy football league that I was in. It was run off Facebook. I log into Facebook, like, 3 times a week. Like, I'm not in there all the time. But the Messenger app is great. Like, now that I've got it, I've talked to my sister all the time. She's up in St. Louis. Like, I found an old friend from, like, 15 years ago that I hadn't talked to in forever. So I've been talking to her with Messenger.
Yeah, Facebook is basically just for family.
Right. But the messaging app is, like you said, it's the opposite of the Facebook app. It actually works well and is good. So... but yeah, so that's Hangouts. That's the update with Hangouts. We also heard, I think this was yesterday, Verizon and AT&T both admitting that T-Mobile is eating up their customers. And I love it.
Not just T-Mobile. They said Sprint too.
Because T-Mobile and Sprint both are making big changes that are good for customers. They're saving them money, they're offering them more data, and customers are paying attention. They're noticing that...
I think Sprint would have a bigger impact if they were more, like, GSM friendly. I mean, you could take a Nexus 5 on Play Store and put it on Sprint, well, Nexus 6 too as well. But, you know, you still get CDMA there, and their network isn't... Well, T-Mobile is not perfect either, but Sprint in a lot of areas, especially for me, is worse than T-Mobile. But I think if they were, like, totally GSM like T-Mobile, they'd probably shake it up a bit more.
But they're still making a splash. For Verizon and AT&T to come out and say, these two companies are being really aggressive and it's affecting our churn. You know, our customers are leaving to go to T-Mobile and Sprint. Is what AT&T, the CEO of AT&T, told their investors on Tuesday. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, I think I heard both Verizon and AT&T are expecting, like, you know, massive amounts of, you know, phones sold and new customers and stuff, but not a huge, like, profit like we've seen, especially from Verizon in the last, 5 years now. They haven't really had to care about customers or competing because, you know, they had the best network, so people were going to go there regardless. Now... they got to actually compete. Feel bad for them.
Yeah, feel so bad for them.
This is what I've been wanting ever since Ledger took over. I wanted all 4 of them to be tighter, like,
yes,
competition.
Yeah.
Verizon, who is, like, double T-Mobile's prices. Sprint used to be above Verizon's prices, but now they've come down, which they should have came down a long time ago. AT&T's come down, well, Verizon's come down as well, and that's all because of T-Mobile. And Sprint's just trying to get neck and neck with T-Mobile right now.
Mm-hmm. So it's and we've been talking about it for, you know, since Ledger took over at T-Mobile, that at some point we wanted to see T-Mobile take all Verizon's customers, basically.
Yep.
And finally, customers. Yeah. And for a long time, Verizon and AT&T, you know, T-Mobile came out with Jump. So then we get Edge and Next from these other companies, and you know, they would make little changes in their plans, offer more data, but they didn't admit that it was a problem. Where now they are, they're saying this is an issue for us. Our customers are leaving, so I'm really excited about that.
Makes me very happy.
They're like, we're gonna go sit in a corner and cry now.
Yeah, well, and what's going to end up happening is they're going to actually compete, and so consumers are going to win.
Yeah.
You know, monthly Verizon, costs are going to go down.
Verizon has great coverage. Whenever I travel to, you know, like, New York and Chicago for launch events, I try to make sure I have a Verizon phone with me. T-Mobile is really good in New York City, for me at least, but Verizon is just a little bit faster, so it's better to have that. Plus, their building penetration is obviously better. But, you know, I just don't want to pay that much money every month for a phone that I probably won't use most of the month because I have review units.
Yep. Yep. And regular consumers don't want to pay that much to Verizon either. So
I actually know a lot of people, a lot of my family members used to be on Verizon, and they're like, we're getting dropped calls, like, in our house and at work now. So they've left and went to AT&T or T-Mobile. So... And that wasn't because I told him to.
Maybe you just nudged him a little bit to get him to jump off the edge, right?
No, I just told him to get a Moto X or a Nexus 6 so that you can get updates quicker.
Yeah.
Good plan.
Actually, I told a lot of people to get Moto G. Just because
it's a great phone.
That's getting 501 right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
My Nexus 6 got it. I tapped install, and it disappeared and never got it.
Yay.
Fun. So yeah,
I just want the Android Wear OTA. That's the other thing that happened today that we didn't talk about.
Yes. So Android 5.0.1 is rolling out to phones, bug fixes, but we also saw an Android Wear update. If you're on 5.0.1, there's an Android Wear OTA for your watch that adds a whole bunch of new functionality. And that's really exciting.
I don't
know
which watches they're here for because I haven't been paying attention to the news for the last few hours because I had class this afternoon. But hopefully it starts rolling out for, you know, some of these watches soon.
Yes, please.
Probably the 360 or G-Watch first. That's how it was the last couple of times.
I'm sure, yeah.
The Gear Live will probably be last. Like last.
Probably. Today.
I don't know why. But... I'm guessing the G-Watch and the G-Watch are probably about the same time because it's the same hardware, just different shape.
Yeah, those would be pretty much the same.
Yeah.
But we're looking at better battery life, which is always a good thing. Aesthetically, there's a bunch of new watch faces, and Google has pushed, what, like 40, 50-something new watch faces to the Play Store.
And the watch face API is now there, so
yes,
watch faces have until February to become official. I guess I should put quotes around that official. But right. Basically just to get in with the watch face API. They got a lot of nice ones. There's the Musi one that I'm probably going to use.
Yeah, there's a ton, man. And they're all in the Play Store, and we can't use any of them until we get the OTA.
Yeah, I have a bunch downloaded, but I can't use it.
The update also will change the ability to pull up dismissed cards. So right now, if you dismiss a card, it's gone. You can't get it back. So now, with the new update, I'm not sure exactly how this is going to work, but once you dismiss a card, you can bring it back up again. If you accidentally swipe it away, you're like, oh, yeah.
I'm guessing it's going to be like probably like in Gmail, you know, when you delete something, it'll be like you just delete a blah, blah, blah message, undo, you know, have a button up there to undo. So I'm guessing there'd be like a toast message at the bottom where you can just hit the undo and it'll come back up.
Yep, yep. The other thing that I'm excited about is a quick brightness toggle. So it's going to be easier to toggle the brightness. Right now it's a pain in the butt and a whole bunch of taps to change the brightness on your watch.
Yeah, I think it's on the auto brightness, or maybe that was on the 360 I had an auto brightness.
There's no auto brightness in some of them.
Mm-mm, yeah, the G Watch doesn't have any kind of...
It's just the 360.
Ambient light sensor.
The G Watch R doesn't have it, but the 360 had it. But yep. The G Watch R also has the ambient light sensor, I'm pretty sure. Because I just leave it on 3 and I can see it fine outside in the sun. So.
Yeah,
I don't worry about the brightness that much, but it's nice for it to be there.
Where are you guys going to get your watch faces?
If
you go into apps and then Android Wear, I don't see a watch faces category.
I just clicked on the link Google gave me.
Bah!
It's links. Like a collection.
Such a pain.
It's like there's a collection.
Yep.
Yeah, come on. They probably haven't updated the Play Store yet.
I don't know. I just found
out. Alright, I'll look for a link then.
Yeah. I think there's a link in the article on the site.
The one in our post goes to the blog post that they put up today. It might be in there too.
Oh, right. Check the Google blog because they probably linked to it.
Yeah, most likely they did.
But yeah, so that's a pretty cool update. Pretty cool update. Another cool update, and I'll just mention this briefly. Google Plus got some new options for gender identification.
So now you can choose if you want to be male or female.
Well, no, you could pick it. You could pick male, female before, but before you had male, you had female, and you had other, and that was it. So if you, and I know some of you guys are rolling your eyes, but this is a big deal for people that are, that this matters for. And it's a big deal that Google's paying attention to it. If you don't identify as either male or female, now there's a custom box, and you can basically put in whatever you want. You can also decline to state your gender preference. So Google's just being a little more sensitive to people that don't identify as male or female. And however you feel about it doesn't really matter. Because what matters is, I mean, I'll just be honest with you, what matters is people that don't identify as male or female. And so it's cool that Google's given people this option. So that was kind of a cool update. Let's see, what else? The OnePlus One is available now without an invite. I just checked the website. You can still get one.
And open. You'll have it by Christmas.
Yep, they say you'll have it by December 25th.
Which just proves that the invite system needs to go away.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So hopefully they don't bring it back. But
I think the reason why they're doing it now is they have these OnePlus Ones. Well, maybe not, but they have these OnePlus Ones available. Or they've rebuilt them, and they've got the OnePlus 2 coming out in, what, about 4 months now? So they got to... build 1 million of those. Probably only build 10, though.
Yep. And their website still says, the offer ends soon. It's while supplies last, quote unquote.
Excuse me. They did that for Black Friday or Cyber Monday, too. And it's like, that's not really a deal. It just means you can actually buy it.
Yeah, so it's not discounted. It's still $299 for the 16 gig version and $349 for the...
I'm surprised they have the 64 version. I'm surprised they have the 16 available, because they haven't had it available since like the day it launched.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, they're saying you can get either one. So if you want a OnePlus One, it's a great phone. I'm not a big fan of the company in general, fantastic.
I'm just not sure about the future of the phone after the drama that's going on with CyanogenMod and them.
Yeah, it's worrying me too. I have to agree.
Now, CyanogenInc did say, Steve Kondik said on Google Plus, that they are not dropping support for existing devices. So you're still going to get CM11, CM12 builds for the OnePlus One. Now, whether or not OnePlus decides to continue to work with Cyanogen to officially release updates through, you know, through OnePlus, who knows? But Cyanogen Inc. is still supporting devices. And if you're not familiar with that, there was a big debacle with Cyanogen Inc. and OnePlus in India with Cyanogen signing an exclusive deal with Micromax, and you can go read about that on the site. So the future of the device was kind of in question, but Cyanogen Inc. is saying they're still going to support it, so no worries there.
I wonder if the OnePlus 2 doesn't have Cyanogen mod, you know, if it's going to be as popular as the OnePlus 1, because I think between the price and Cyanogen mod, that was the big deal with the OnePlus 1. Well, price and specs.
Agreed.
If it had, like, you know, just some random AOSP build on there, I don't think it would have been as popular.
Yeah, and especially if it had ColorOS, because I wouldn't have touched it if it had ColorOS. There's no way.
Some people really like that ColorOS.
That's fair.
I know Marquez, he really likes ColorOS almost as much as he likes stock Android. So
interesting.
It's not as a familiar. It's not as familiar of a name in the U.S. at least, though.
Yeah, it's like using Flyme versus, you know, stock Android. We're not familiar with Flyme from Meizu. So when I went to use like the MX4 Pro, I'm like, how do you do all this stuff? I had to Google how to do a factory reset.
Right.
Yeah, that one was hard to find.
It was hard to find a tutorial on how to do it.
But if you want a OnePlus One, you can get one until they decide to shut it down. So go get one if you want. Right, just two more minutes.
We'll see.
Is there anything else big that you guys want to talk about from the week? That was the big stuff that I could think of.
I know you guys won't care as much, but there was a Flexi update right before the show started.
Oh, cool.
And it's a complete material redesign of Flexi. So they have like three new theme packs that you can buy. One of them is actually a chameleon theme that will change the color of the keyboard with the app you're running, which I thought was pretty sweet. I'll have to maybe pick that one up. The settings...
Lollipop feature there.
Yes, for sure. The settings screen's completely different. It doesn't even look like the same app. I don't know that other than the themes they added any feature. Oh, no. Yes, of course they added features. I'm an idiot. The dashboard. Let me go into it. Hold on. Before I just yap.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Updated theirs too recently, so the whole app is material design, which I think it looks good, but I don't go into the settings that often.
Well, yeah, that's not as big of a deal. This is more of like, okay, yeah, the settings app is material, but they also have material themes, which is great, so it fits in better.
Swiftkey has those too.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Flex is a little behind on that, but they also added a couple of new things like a GIF keyboard, and this is interesting because I don't know if you guys ever used the website Giphy. That's G-I-P-H-Y. But it's basically a GIF repository where people hashtag stuff, and it's really easy to find stuff. So it's direct integration with that. So you literally click on the GIF keyboard. It's got all these hashtags. You click on that. It shows all the trending GIFs. You just attach it straight from your keyboard. So you don't have to go to the website. Yeah, it's sweet. You don't have to go to the website, save it, and attach it, and all this other crap. It's literally click, done.
And as much as you send GIFs to us.
Heck yes, you guys are going to get bombarded now. I hope you're ready.
I'm going to download Flexi just for that and just going to send GIFs all day long.
Yep.
Instead of typing, just going to send GIFs.
Just GIFs. Don't need anything else.
Pixel pushes, man.
We should make an article where we just talk in GIFs.
I love it.
It would take so long to load.
It's funny you say that because my wife, they do that. She's an editor of a book blog, and they do that all the time. Just GIF posts. So
amazing.
It would just take so long to load that page with all those GIFs.
Yeah. But it's fun. So and there's a bunch of Google apps that are getting material design updates, and with this Hangouts update, there's a whole bunch of other Google apps that are getting material design updates. Like, I say a whole bunch, but I think most of them that haven't gotten material updates are getting it.
I think they might all have it, or at least the ones I use or have downloaded are all have it.
But there's a bunch of, and there's probably like a dozen Google apps that are also getting updates with additional features and stuff. So Google's making a big push right before Christmas to update all this stuff.
It was supposed to be updated before the OTAs came out. That was said to be the deadline for all the teams. I don't know if it was true or not, but that was what I had heard.
And actually, the OTAs are hitting devices pretty heavy, so
yeah,
it's about time for the apps to get it too.
Yeah, all the ones I have Material Design already. So.
Yep.
Man, on a side note, I found that link on that blog for the wear faces. There are some sick wear faces in here. I cannot wait to get that update.
Yep.
Yeah, there's some really good looking Android wear faces.
I think my favorite one off the bat is, of course, the very last one on the list. It's like a sundial looking thing.
Oh, so I thought you were going to say the Plants vs. Zombies one.
I actually like that one a lot too.
I knew it.
That was a close second, but the sundial one is sweet looking. So the shadow moves around as the day goes. I don't know. I like the kind of crap.
Yeah, that's cool.
Isn't that the one they showed on the Zen Watch?
Maybe.
Because the one they showed on the Zen Watch looks really good. The one on the Zen Watch looks really nice, and that's probably because of the Zen Watch looks.
Yeah, the Zen Watch is just really nice in general. I did honestly.
Even with the big bezels it has, it still looks really nice.
Fine, it's part of the style. It looks good.
Just don't put a white clock face on it, and you'll be fine.
Why?
Because the black. If you put a black watch or watch face on there, it blends in with the bezels.
So oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Makes sense.
With the white one, you just see bezel everywhere.
Bezel all over the place.
Bezel all the things.
What if I just love me some bezels? Don't hate.
That's probably why you didn't buy the G3.
Ouch. Right.
No, that's
and
fair.
That's why you bought the Z2.
The Z2 doesn't have giant bezels.
Double burn.
Not compared to the Z, the original Xperia Z and ZL, but yeah.
They're kind of big.
They're kind of big, but I think it's more for the waterproofing stuff.
Yep. You guys saw the Z4 leaks, right? Over the last week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did. I think I published it, but I didn't really look at it.
Yeah, I'm nice. I think I'm hoping those are true because they will have finally nearly gotten rid of those huge top and bottom bezels. Of course, we're talking relative here. It's not that big, but, you know, we have to exaggerate everything.
I'll take that because you've got great front-facing speakers on top and bottom.
They still have them, though. That's the thing.
Right, and that's so – but even I'll take them on top and bottom because it's got the waterproofing. It's got the big speakers.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of the Z2, even with the big bezels.
No, dude, it's a great phone.
The only thing I want them to change about the Z3 are those flaps. I know they can't really do much about that, especially the charging one. Or just put in wireless charging. But
Nobody needs ports anymore. Get rid of that crap.
But it's going to take 3 days to charge it when they put in that 3,500 milliamp battery.
They do that to make you buy a charging dock. I'm about to buy a charging dock, desktop dock, because I hate the flaps. They're the worst.
Because if you do wireless charging on this thing, it literally takes like all day. So I've always used the turbo charger. I tried wireless charging it once, never again.
I read something this week too that
it's supposed to get faster.
Yeah, somebody had figured out. I forget who had figured out how to boost the speed on.
Yeah,
wireless charging like four times.
It's gonna take a couple of years though, still.
Yeah. Just drop a flux capacitor in there, it'll be fine.
Yep. And you can also travel through time.
Yes.
Just glue like a wireless charger to the back of your phone and carry that all day.
All day. Well, I think we are going to wrap up the show on that note. Because we had a blast talking to Will Choi from AV8 and talking about some news. But we've been going for a good little while, so I think we're going to wrap it up. But
time for bed.
Yeah, just about. But you can, as always, you can find us on AndroidHeadlines.com, obviously, on Twitter @AndroidHeadline, without the S, Google Plus and Facebook, YouTube. So I want to talk a little bit about YouTube, just mention this really briefly. We've got some new videos going up, just quick, like hands-on videos with some accessories, unboxing videos of new phones. But if you're not, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can watch the Android Headlines show every week if you don't want to download the podcast, or if you do want to download the podcast and then still go watch us on YouTube, feel free to do that. But we're doing some new stuff with the YouTube channel specifically. So let us know what we can do better over there too. But Nick, Alex, it's always a blast, guys. Thanks for hanging out tonight.
No problem.
Have a good night.
Next week.